And when you start to making the connections and you realize that he was killed at the MGM Grand in Detroit, and you realize that there was more people involved than perhaps some of his inner circle, you realize that there's more money involved, that only very powerful people can, you know, basically bribe people in the Detroit police and in the coroner office, which is what happened. As time goes by, we're probably hitting the 50 mark by now, because with all the New York Police Department suicides, and, you know, the senator from Arkansas that recently got murdered, it's not even a debate that she got killed, and she was actually investigating the involvement of Child Protective Services in human trafficking.
I'm proud to share with you Tetragen, which helps you transition to a healthier, happier, and thinner you without cravings or side effects. Our metabolic hormones are the underlying problem that doom every diet and exercise program to fail. They control our metabolism, cravings, how much we eat to feel satiated, blood sugar levels, and even our energy levels. Tetragen is formulated with four clinically proven patented ingredients that help rebalance your metabolic hormones in roughly 15 to 20 days, depending on the amount of weight you want to lose. Once your metabolic hormones are rebalanced, you'll be on the path to long-term, sustainable weight loss, because Tetragen is the first in the world which is scientifically formulated with four clinically proven and patented active ingredients to help you reach your targeted weight in two distinct phases. Phase one, rebalance your metabolic hormones, and phase two, accelerate fat loss. The best part is that Tetragen comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose besides weight? Learn more with the link below.
Hi, welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have a person who's working on a documentary film. He's been researching the whole human trafficking trade, which now unfortunately is larger, they're saying. You know, when you count organ trafficking and sex trafficking, it is larger than the drug trade, which how could it be larger than drug trade? But it is. And or it's that's what they're predicting, because with organs and sex, and there's such a high demand, which is hard to wrap our minds around. And he's been doing a lot of research. He has a documentary where he's noticing a pattern of people who have been active in exposing the trade who've been murdered. And so he has a string of people. Now it's a little easier with the Epstein stuff coming out, that the people who are exposing it aren't as much at risk because so much is coming out. But they still are, and there's still evidence of people being killed just as, you know, very recently. He's showing a pattern of many people that have been coming out, including like Kate Spade, you know, which just died a little over a year ago, I think, the big designer, and Chris Cornell, who was a huge member musician during the 90s. Lots of people that he sent me a list of about six people he's covering, and then mentioned more in this interview, and then gets into deep about some of their connections and why he thinks that they're related to exposing the trafficking and why they were taken out. And then he gets into the ITNJ a little bit. He was a volunteer there in charge of their social media. And there's some issues there about how some of the victims' testimony was released publicly and what they didn't release, and how they treat victims, some of their symbols being Luciferian, and in and of itself might not be bad, but it's triggering victims, and so why are they using it? And, you know, their explanation is that originally these symbols were for good and that they've been stolen by these bad guys, and the meaning has been stripped, and we're trying to reclaim that. But why use something that would trigger victims? You know, so what the heck is that? You got to explain that. And then there's a lot of family relationships with Sasha Stone that is very questionable. So it's just, you know, he needs to come clean and explain why he has all these issues if he's going to be running an organization that claims to be there for victims. If he wants to come on my show and defend himself, he's welcome to, but I've heard enough people coming forward to me. My experience with Kevin Annette was one thing, and how they acted behind the scenes, the organization, But then I've had multiple people who've worked for that association come forward and come to me saying they quit too because of problems that they're seeing inside the organization. There's people who are high-level ambassadors that they've used for promotion that are backing out. We didn't talk about them. They need to do their own publicity because they're famous people in their own right. But there's just a pattern here now that is forming, and I didn't want to come forward for a long time because it's just not. Somebody's working on child issues and trafficking, then I don't care how many people they sleep with as long as they're trying to fight trafficking. But now I'm starting to see a different pattern. So I think it's time to come out and disclose some of this information. And if they want to come and defend it, that's fine. But they need to defend it because at this point it's not funny, it's not okay, and it's something that is serious. So this interview is with Alessandro Castellone. And again, I said he was a documentary maker. He was also in charge of the social media at the INTNJ. And he's a researcher. It's a very interesting, very important. YouTube, don't take this down. And if you're going to take it down, please contact me. Have the respect to do that first. And if it does happen to come down and they have no respect for me or for the information that we're putting forward, it is available on podcasts. It is available on BitChute and Library. And let's get into this video now with Alessandro Castellone. Hello, Alessandro. Thank you so much for joining the program.
Thank you, Sarah. How are you?
I am doing really good. And this is going to be an intense broadcast. So I hope you're ready.
But I hope so, too.
Let's start with how you got into this, into the whole trafficking and, you know, the weird murders that you're seeing and how you got into deciding to make a documentary.
Well, I've been researching about strange things happening in the world ever since I turned 18, 17. So I've been researching secret societies and general government corruption since 2004. It wasn't until 2017 when Chris Cornell and Chester Bennington got killed. It was pretty obvious to me that they got killed, especially after Chester died, because immediately after Chris passed away, I just couldn't, you know, rationalize how someone that was living a sober life for over 14, 15 years suddenly got depressed and did what he did.
And explain who he is.
Well, Chris Cornell is the lead singer and songwriter for the bands Soundgarden, Audioslave, and Temple of the Dog. He's an icon of the 90s. He's famous for being one of the biggest stars from the grunge movement in Seattle. And this person was not only dedicated to music, in the end he was very involved in fighting human trafficking and helping children that were vulnerable, especially in Europe. And in fact, before passing away, he was working in Greece. His widow is from Greece, so he was dedicated to the cause there as well.
And that's what really motivated you when you learned that there was some weird, like, it was like he was murdered because the reasons didn't add up to who this person really was.
Yeah, exactly. And when you start looking into it, I mean, I haven't done all the research. Of course, I've break through a lot of new things in the case, but a lot of people have done a lot of good research. So if you go on the web, you'll see incredible amount of blogs with forensics and analysis of the crime scene that, you know, will convince you that there's something wrong with it. And you don't have to go as far as taking just the circumstantial evidence, into account, because just by forensics, you can tell this guy was murdered. And when you start to making the connections and you realize that he was killed at the MGM Grand in Detroit, and you realize that there was more people involved than perhaps some of his inner circle, you realize that there's more money involved, that only very powerful people can, basically bribe people in the Detroit police and in the coroner office, which is what happened.
So he motivated you to get going, but there's a whole string of murders or people you suspect are murdered there's six names that you gave me, but I think there's even more that you are doing this documentary on, and you've found a connection with all these. Can you talk about that?
Yes, there's basically, well, as time goes by, we're probably hitting the 50 mark by now, because with all the New York Police Department suicides and, you know, the senator from Arkansas that recently got murdered, it's not even a debate that she got killed. And she was actually investigating the involvement of Child Protective Services in human trafficking. She also discovered that her ex-husband, a judge, had child pornography in his computer. So, you know, when you start seeing these things, when you start seeing these things and all these people get killed, it's not only Chester Bennington or Chris Cornell.
I was just going to say the sad part is it's her own family and she was, it was under her. And then just shows that there can be people that you're related to that are awful and you're not, but keep going.
Yeah. I mean, when you get killed, it's pretty much over for you, but the people that love you is the one, you know, are the people that, that keep dragging that suffering around. And it's not only these two musicians. If you go back into to 2016, before the elections, you have people like Monica Peterson, who was killed in Haiti. I actually spoke with members of her family and roommates and everything. I interviewed them. Obviously, I will protect their identities until the end because there's no purpose in saying who they are. But she actually disclosed the involvement of the Clinton Foundation and the Caracol Complex, which child trafficking in Haiti. She announced the scam at the Mornebosa gold mining that Tony Rodham was actually in charge of. Of course, Tony Rodham passed away 2 months ago, and so there will never be a case on that scam. We also have the murder of Seth Rich, which, you know, the official story is that it was a mugging gone bad, but they didn't even take his watch.
I've covered that one. I know that that one is... There's just too much there.
Super shady. And even Julian Assange and Kim.com have been clear in stating that, you know, they don't state it obvious in an obvious way because they don't want to expose the family or nobody else around him. But they pretty much hint that he was the informant.
Well, so, Kim.com didn't just hint. He came out and said he was.
I mean, basically, Julian.
Julian's a little different. Yeah, but he's still in custody too. Gives him a little bit ability to say stuff.
Yeah, and sadly, you know, there's people that claim that we have to trust the plan, and that perhaps Trump is there for, you know, to clean the streets of pedophiles and human traffickers. Listen. He has done a lot of good things. If you look at the amount of sealed indictments, it's record-breaking, the amount that supposedly he has managed to get out. But the percentage of those being involved with human trafficking is unknown. We have to wait until those are unsealed. And when you take into account what happened to Epstein, that he was he killed himself in jail. And, you know, when you see that Ghislaine Maxwell and Jean-Luc Brunel are free. The other procurers, Sarah Kellen, Nadia Marcinkova, nobody's arrested. So you start to lose hope and you decide to do something yourself. I mean, you cannot sit with your arms crossed. It's like you decided to interview people, get out the information, create content. You're involved in the battle, and that's what we're supposed to do. That's why I got in.
That's why you decided to do this documentary. Now, is this documentary really the people who have been killed in the process of trying to do whistleblowing and good works? Is that what, and the pattern that you're seeing?
Yes. In fact, the problem with Chris Cornell and Chester is that they were coming out at a time where these people still thought that their crimes were gonna remain hidden in the dark. By last year, by December, November last year, you noticed that all the information on Epstein was out. That's why he shipped a container to fill up underground tunnels in the island because he knew law enforcement was coming this year. I mean, I think these people knew what was coming.
What do you think was in those containers that are under the island?
On the underground tunnels, I think, you know, people say that there used to be human sacrifice. I'm pretty sure there's that in the island. But, you know, Jeffrey Epstein was very involved in studying mind control. And he actually ordered a lot of books on that subject. And that has been proven. He has involvement with a lot of scientists that, you know, dwell in transhumanism, artificial intelligence, eugenics. So I believe he probably had an underground laboratory under there. Probably, you know, MK Ultra victims. You know, that's my guess.
And he was getting more victims from outside the country than he was from the United States, right? I mean, because we kind of seem like it's all U.S. Go ahead.
That's a public story because people want to pretend that he was just raping 14-year-old girls, which is awful. You know, it's terrible. But these girls are the ones that actually got paid and survived. There are victims that were taken away from places like Haiti, which was really close to Little St. James. Places like Dominican Republic, probably Central America, the Bahamas. You know, these victims were probably even younger than 12 years old. And that's what people are saying, that, you know, the underground tunnels, and they say that there was an entrance for a submarine on the island. Those things were to actually camouflage the real victims, because he had staff working on the island. So he didn't want that staff to see 9-year-olds and 7-year-olds being kidnapped. No, he had the underage girls topless, bouncing around at the pools, apparently, but the staff were used to that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's one thing of having a 16-year-old, 15-year-old girl that looks pretty womanly, you know? They're a young, vibrant. I mean, girls can look, they look pretty womanly when, even though their mind is a little kid, they look very much older. You can see as with models and magazines and things.
Exactly.
And that's why I feel like it's being whitewashed. But go ahead.
That's the debate because, you know, women, and you see kids growing up really quick, and it's something cultural, and I think it's calculated. I don't think, I think there is an agenda to sexualize kids from an early age. If you see the Disney cartoons and all the subliminal messages, especially now, because 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when I grew up, it was way more mild. Nowadays, it's just out there, blatant.
Yeah, it was much more conservative. Okay, so what other things are you seeing that you're putting in this documentary that people need to know about? You know, they need to eventually see it, but what other things are you motivated to get out there?
Well, when Chris died, I decided to start researching human trafficking really seriously, focusing on it. When Kate Spade died and Anthony Bourdain died, and I believe the other lady was Inés Orregieta, which was the sister of some royal, some princess, some queen in Europe. I don't know if it's, I think it was the sister of the Queen of the Netherlands that got murdered. So it was 3 murders in 1 week, all of them by hanging. All of them apparently hanging from a doorknob, which is itself, it's a symbol to silence people down. It's almost like the death of a traitor. If you look into Masonic symbolism, and you realize that when they hang people up, it's a symbol of silencing people.
Well, what with Kate Spade, what did you notice with her? Was she involved heavily in trying to stop human trafficking? Because that was really shocking when she died.
She had links with the Clinton Foundation in Haiti. And I believe she and probably these 2 other people that got killed were talking in between each other, probably thinking about coming out, because Anthony Bourdain also had knowledge of what was going on. He obviously knew something was up. If you see his last tweets, he actually destroys the Clintons. And on his last interview, which was with an Italian magazine, I believe, or a French magazine, I'm not entirely sure, but it's a very revealing interview in which he calls Bill Clinton a rapist comeback.
How can so many people be coming out with evidence? Well, they keep killing the people who are witnesses, but how do they, so many people come out and the Clintons are still walking around free, in your opinion?
It boggles me because people say, and you know, you tend to believe it's true, that they left the office, well, Bill left the office more than 15 years ago. Hillary was in the, she was the on the
Secretary of State.
Secretary of State, like, what, 5 years ago?
Yeah, for Obama. And then she left early to campaign.
Yeah. But I think these people, I don't know if you know, but they used the gold mining in Haiti to launder the gold they stole from Libya. When they killed Gaddafi, which, you know, Hillary infamously celebrated, you know, we came, we saw, he died. That's what she said. They stole billions in gold from Libya.
Well, they destroyed Libya. I got to say something. They went into Libya, took the wealthiest, people were doing the best in Africa, and they destroyed a country that is now a humanitarian disaster. And they did it saying that this guy who is running the country was an evil dictator. Okay, well, fine. But now you left it with the people in a much worse situation. Yeah. So I don't know how you how they have any credibility on that front, but keep going.
Exactly. And I mean, the United States needs to stop policing the world. I mean, my mother is an American. I'm not an American. I was born in Central America, but I'm very familiar with the culture. I actually lived in Long Beach during the early 90s. But, you know, the United States has military bases in over 100 countries.
Oh, it's more than
at
that.
Some point,
it's in almost every country. Yeah, keep going.
Yeah, in almost every country. And at some point, that's going to come back to hunt them down. Because, you know, history tends to repeat itself. Every empire falls down.
Yeah, the problem is that we have, and this is what I want to get back to, is we had people, and we still do, like the Clintons, who are notorious child traffickers and abusers of the system from every direction. And that's what's taking down our country. And those people make bad decisions when it comes to war and protecting what is important to us and our riches and everything else. So that's why I'm here trying to expose something, because it's destroying our country. But you, you were just so passionate. And I want to talk more about this documentary and get back to what other things you learned that, because you were just bombshell after bombshell, so I'd like to get back to it when I interrupted you about Libya.
No worries. Yeah, I mean, in doing my first research for the documentary, which wasn't my first idea, you know, when I started, I didn't mean to create something. I just wanted to know what was going on for me, because it was something that you know, I needed to understand. You know, I cannot live in a world where these things are going on, where kids are being kidnapped by the 100,000s and being sacrificed or worse, you know, because you don't really know what's going on, especially on the underground bases that they supposedly have worldwide. When you realize that organizations like UNICEF or the UN or, let's say, Child Protective Services are also involved in the trafficking, you realize... We got to do something, because this is out of control.
It's really out of control. You know, the human trafficking, when you talk about organs and sex, just what, however you use humans, has now grown past drug trafficking. And the drug trafficking and the human trafficking trade are very together. They use the same routes and people and things. And it's very scary. And it's and you do notice, like you're noticing, that a lot of the charities are the ones who are behind it. Now, there's so many good people in charities, and a lot of those people don't realize to the full extent that their brothers and sisters around them might be actually complicit in this crime. Now, one thing that you realize when you were in the INTJ is that it wasn't what it was all cooked up to be either. Which, you know, I do got to tell you that a lot of the ambassadors and people that are out there in front that are there to put a good name on it, they are good people, a lot of them. But you notice there was some things going on there that is a pattern that we're seeing. Can you explain what you saw? And let's stay to as much, you know, let's stay to the, we've got to say that we have facts to back up all this stuff. Stay, okay. You know, stay with the
so
facts.
You want to talk yeah. about the ITNJ right now?
Are you ready to move on to that, or do you want to keep talking about your documentary?
No, whatever you prefer. I just wanted
I want to make sure we got everything in. Oh yeah, finish your up what you have with your documentary, and then let's move on to the other. Keep going.
Okay, perfect. When Chris Cornell passed away, he had been working in the Vicky and Chris Cornell Foundation. It was a charity, as you said. And, you know, the problem is that Chris Cornell didn't want anything to do with business. His previous wife, Susan Silber, was actually his manager. And she was the manager for Soundgarden and other bands like Alice in Chains and so on. She's very big in the music industry. She's a lovely woman, actually. He basically let his new wife, Vicky Cornell, manage all his financial matters. She set up the foundation as a 5-95% foundation, meaning that the foundation can keep 95% of the funds. And that's what she has been doing since the foundation started. So when Chris Cornell found about this, I believe this was in 2016, among other things, because this marriage has had a lot of problems, he decided to end it. There was a pending divorce, and people don't know that. The fact that there was a pending divorce is proven by the fact that his brother, Peter Cornell, had to retrieve the body from Detroit. Vicky was unable because of pending legal matters. And people don't know that. So, you know, Vicky nowadays, she hates Peter. They actually attack Peter on social media all the time.
No, you said she was a lovely woman. Now, do you still think that?
I meant the first wife.
Oh, okay.
Because Chris divorced in 2004 from Susan Silber.
Okay.
Which is a manager and a producer in Seattle. Vicky Cornell is from Greece. She actually used to describe herself as a publicist. They met in France in 2004. But there are rumors that she was not really a publicist. I don't want to slander her, but... you know, it is rumored that she had extracurricular activities, if you know what I mean. So she always had a dubious reputation. If you see their wedding,
and now reputation for being with other men or for doing nefarious activities with trafficking.
Escorting. Okay. Involving escorting, yeah, herself and probably you know, being a procurer. And that explains her friendship with her maid of honor during her wedding with Chris, which was Dasha Sukova. Dasha Sukova divorced mobster Roman Abramovich 2 years ago. Dasha Sukova is a model and an escort. That's how she met her former husband, which is Israel's the wealthiest man in Israel. And he's the owner of the Chelsea Football Club in England.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So this woman was the maid of honor. And we now know that this woman is also the best friend of David Geffen. That's the name I wanted to mention the most, because David Geffen owned Chris Cornell for most of his life. David Geffen owns Universal Music Group, which is the record label of Chris Cornell. He also owns Interscope, which, you know, Linkin Park and Soundgarden have also worked under that label. So this is a man that has his net worth is $8.2 billion. He has a private jet, I think it's called the Rising Sun. And if you go in, if you talk to anybody in Hollywood, I have some contacts in Hollywood, some really good people, because there's good people everywhere.
Yes, there are.
There's a lot of sick people everywhere as well. like you were saying, there's a lot of good people in the ITNJ. I have no doubt about it.
Well, I know for a
but
fact.
When the
yeah.
Yeah, but when the top is rotten, you know,
that well, we'll talk about that a little bit. Yeah.
It. Yeah. So David Geffen is a known pedophile.
And you have proof on that.
I have testimonies on that, but I don't know if I can publish them because I don't want to expose the people. I actually met a girl that his brother used to work for the man for a long, long time. And he actually saw some things, you know, happening in the office. So, you know, I cannot prove it because, you know, in order to prove it, I need to have a victim that is alive testifying. And he will never allow that. That man will not be taken down. And, you know, his friendship with Steven Spielberg is legendary. They founded the DreamWorks, SKG filming company. He's also apparently very close with Oprah Winfrey. And if you have done some research about Oprah lately, she was endorsing John of Gat, which is a human trafficker from Brazil that is now arrested. He was actually accused of raping over 500 girls. He kidnapped them for 10 years and actually had babies with them, him and his employees. And they sold the babies to Europe and to the United States.
He was the one farm. That had like a baby farm. He'd bring all those women. Would it be all of his children, or would he also get other men to reproduce?
I'm guessing it was him and another man. Yeah, it was a very
sick situation.
Big enterprise because sick situation. Yeah, because he used these women for 10 years. And when he decided that they were no longer of his taste, I guess not young enough, he killed them. And the woman that actually denounced him is supposedly killed herself, Sabine Bittencourt. There were some rumors that she actually faked it to you know, to get some security and run away from the whole situation. But I tend to believe she indeed was murdered.
Wow. Okay, so this will all be in your documentary. I mean, this is pretty heavy stuff. Yeah. I mean, this is, if you can get this documentary, this is very explosive. It's very important information.
Yeah, because I mean to focus on Chris and Chester for obvious reasons, and I will be talking about their families and their friends and their interviews and forensics and everything involving their cases. But on the other side, I also want to expose this huge connection to not only human traffickers, but satanic cults. Because as you know, as you probably know, in Hollywood, there's this prevalence of secret societies, satanic cults. And fortunately, these people are involved in pagan rituals as well. And, you know, these rituals tend to involve the rape kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've had other people come on and talk about it. I've had people who were victims as children who saw other children and they got these guys in black robes and all this weird crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've talked with over 10 victims. And, you know, even one victim that currently lives in Ecuador, he was a child actor in Los Angeles like 10 years ago. And he was supposedly molested by Bryan Singer and Marty Weiss. But, you know, he was willing to come out, but we're still working on the details of that.
It's so hard for them because it's so painful. At the same time, they're smeared. So it's a combination of they're getting their whole reputation smeared, plus it's so painful. It takes so much courage to come out.
Yeah, to revive those memories, it's something that entirely breaks down your balance. I mean, if you're a well-balanced person right now, going back to those memories will make a dent.
Yeah, it may be for some of them it's a healing experience, but it's still very, very difficult. Wow, okay. Is there anything else that you want to say about your documentary? I mean, you've come out with so many good, you know, information.
No, that's fine. I mean, I just wanted to tell people that I'm going to be basically making a lot of connections. I know in the music and the entertainment industry, everybody takes pictures together and everybody's friends with each other. But, you know, we know it's more than that.
Well, it's a very dirty industry, and people seem to do almost anything to become famous, and it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. Okay, well, let's move.
It's not worth it because you're a slave in the end.
Yeah, you can be. If you're blackmailed, especially, it's just not worth it to be black. You'd rather be free, but it's hard to explain to somebody until they get there. So, what was your.